From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled The Holy War of Sanctification, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called An Expert Searcher. The text is found in Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. This he does at the first, when his elect are like wandering sheep that know not the shepherd or the fold. How wonderfully doth the Lord find out his chosen! Jesus is great as a seeking shepherd, as well as a saving shepherd. Though many of those whose father gave him have gone as near to hell gate as they well can, yet the Lord, by searching and seeking, discovers them and draws nigh to them in grace. He has sought out us. Let us have good hope for those who are laid upon our hearts in prayer, for he will find them out also. The Lord repeats this process when any of his flock stray from the pastures of truth and holiness. They may fall into gross error, sad sin, and grievous hardness. But yet the Lord, who has become a surety for them to his Father, will not suffer one of them to go so far as to perish. He will, by providence and grace, pursue them into foreign lands, into abodes of poverty, into dens of obscurity, into deeps of despair. He will not lose one of all that the Father has given him. It is a point of honor with Jesus to seek and to save all the flock without a single exception. What a promise to plead if at this hour I am compelled to cry, I have gone astray like a lost sheep.
Glory of crimson tide,
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Our text is taken from verses 17 and 18 of Joshua chapter 17. By this point, the children of Israel had completed the conquest of Canaan. Yet each tribe still had to possess the land that had been allotted to them, for in each case pockets of resistance remained. Joshua exhorts the tribes of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, saying, "Thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron, and though they be strong." In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is applying these words to the Christian life. Those who truly know Christ as their Savior still have to battle against sin throughout their earthly lives. These are the Canaanites, whose presence is a source of grief to every believer. Some are deeply entrenched, and great effort is required to drive them out. Today we'll see that, like the Canaanites, these sins should be driven out, for every sin is the enemy of every Christian. The command to Israel was, "Drive out all of them." So it must be for the individual child of God. Now to continue this message, the Holy War of Sanctification, here is Dr. Cairns.
The Lord's command in the words of our text was, "Thou shalt drive out the Canaanites. Though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong, thou shalt drive out the Canaanites." However, each tribe failed at some point. For example, in chapter 15, verse 63, we read, "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem unto this day." Indeed, it wasn't until David came to Jerusalem to make it the capital of the United Kingdom, after having been king 7 years over Judah in Hebron, he came up to Jerusalem as king over all Israel. And it wasn't until that time that he sent Joab up and drove out the Jebusites. Until that time, and even on that occasion, the Jebusites were able to mock the armies of Israel. So Judah couldn't drive out the Jebusites. In chapter 16, verse 10, we read, "They drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day, and serve under tribute." So the Ephraimites also failed. That was Joshua's own tribe. They failed to drive out the Canaanites. And then we read of Manasseh in chapter 17, verse 12. "Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in the land." What a telling expression that is. As I say, all this has a spiritual message for us. This is true to our experience. You will find, as you pursue the holy war of sanctification, that there are Canaanites who would dwell in the land. There are Canaanite sins. There are tribes of sins, lusts, temptations, moral and spiritual weaknesses that tenaciously desire to dwell in the land. How true to our experience. We may well cry, as did the psalmist in Psalm 119, and verses 4 and 5, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." That's the command of God. And then we may well utter the prayer, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Today, I want us to consider Israel's experience in this matter and find that Israel's successes and failures in possessing their inheritance picture our holy war of sanctification. According to the text, Joshua was intending to teach Israel three things. First, he intended to teach them that the Canaanites should be driven out. They should be driven out. Israel had to keep in mind that the Canaanites were their enemies. And if Israel wouldn't fight against the Canaanites, it wouldn't change the fact that the Canaanites intended to fight against them. The Canaanites were their inveterate foes. They were enemies to the death. They were determined to prosecute their war against Israel. Thus, the children of Israel, in each of their tribes, had to fight against the Canaanites. And that's why the command was, drive them out. How many of them? Drive all of them out. But some have iron chariots, as I described in one of our former studies. At that stage of history, the iron chariots were a fairly new implement of war, and they were a deadly menace. These great beasts of war with scythe-like attachments to their wheels would be driven through an army of infantry, and they would cut down men and leave them to die. It was a horrendous instrument of war for anyone to have. This was something that would strike fear into the hearts of any opponents. And as you find with every new advance in war technology, when it first comes on the scene, opponents don't know how to deal with it. They haven't had experience. They haven't had time to sit down and figure out its weaknesses. It was true of these chariots. I don't want to get away off on a tangent here. But it's interesting, it was true of these chariots. They did have weaknesses as well as strengths. You'd only got to bring them to the proper kind of terrain, and they were death traps. That happened in the days of the judges, for instance. And you find that Barak was able to have the great chariots of the enemies down on the mushy surface of the plain before him, and they became a death trap to them. But at this stage, the Israelites knew nothing about the tactics of dealing with these instruments of war. They just looked at them, and they have great iron chariots. The Lord says, drive them out, chariots and all. And the same holds good in our spiritual struggle. Let's learn from this. All sin is our enemy. Every sin is the enemy of every Christian. Christians need to learn that. And we need to learn that this is not just some old-fashioned kind of Methodist or holiness kind of word. This is the word of God. Sin is our enemy. We're living in a day when Christians are coming to terms with sin. We're living in a day when we have redefined everything so that nothing means anything anymore. We have come to such terms with sin that we have our consciences largely stultified, deadened. There are some of you here today, and you know this, that Christians can do things nowadays that 10 years ago they wouldn't have dreamed of doing. Christians can go places nowadays that 10 years ago they would never have dreamed of going. There are things that are acceptable that were not acceptable. Now, I am not for a moment arguing that what was the standard of acceptance must necessarily have been right. What I am saying is that we must go to the Word of God and let the Word of God determine what is right and what is wrong, and that doesn't matter what so-called progress is made in any part of society, and especially, let me emphasize this, it does not matter what sort of progress is made in the new evangelical compromising churches of America. What the Bible says is sin. That's the end of the matter. We ought not to come to terms with sin. Sin is the enemy of the people of God. And it will hinder our possession of what we have in Christ. Let me turn that around. If you are doubtful as to whether something is sinful or not, just look at it in the light of this criterion, this standard of judgment. Does this hinder my enjoyment of Christ? Does this hinder my access to God in prayer? Does this hinder my study and my love of the Word of God? Does this hinder my conformity to Christ? Does this hinder my service for the Savior? My friend, anything that is a hindrance to your spiritual welfare and growth is sin. Now let's understand that. We must see that sin is our enemy. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Lusts war against the soul. We are, as God's Israel, in a battle with the Canaanite tribes of our own sins. And Peter tells us, remember, they are not innocuous little sins. They are deadly enemies that are warring against your soul. And of course, some sins are particularly powerfully entrenched. I've mentioned the chariots that some of the Canaanites had as they went against the children of Israel. Chariots could attack swiftly, and of course they could inflict awful damage. It's true in the spiritual realm. There are sins which are particularly powerful. There are sins which can attack us very, very swiftly. There are sins which, having done so, can inflict awful damage sometimes. Lifelong damage. You think of David's negligence and lust. It seemed to start off in a small way. David was the great warrior king. But when the time came that kings go forth to war, David didn't go. Oh, the war must go on, but let Joab conduct it. David neglected to go to war, and soon his lust led to adultery, which led to murder, which led, some people have said, why did God not put David to death? I wonder what civil power was going to inflict the death penalty in David. There was no civil power superior to him. There was none to inflict the death penalty. But God inflicted a penalty on that sin. It was so great that David would far, far, far rather have been asked to give his own life in exchange. For from that point the sword never departed from the house of David. Shame and disgrace, wickedness, decimated his house and family, the result of sin. It was a chariot sin, came with sudden devastation. You think of Peter, his carnal confidence, though all men forsake you, I'll never forsake you. I'm a man, not a wimp. These other fellows may turn their back, but you can depend on me, Lord. I'll never turn my back. He was the first to do it. The first to do it. And to add insult to injury, he didn't do it at the edge of a sword. He didn't do it facing a pit of snakes or a cave of lions. No, he did it in the tinkling voice of a little girl. Said, I think you're one of his disciples. Carnal confidence led to faithless fear. There are sins which are particularly strongly entrenched. There are sins which present a particular threat to individuals. Let every man among us, let every woman among us know himself or herself. Know yourself. Paul said to the Hebrews, let us lay aside every sin and the weight, or every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. He may well have been speaking of the sin of unbelief besetting us all, but I think there is also in that command of the apostles, there is the thought. Every one of us needs to understand there is a sin or a series of sins which are more likely than others to overtake us. There are sins that may present a terrible problem to you that present no problem to me at all. I am not going to be tripped up by drugs or alcohol. That's not a problem for me. I'm not going to get hooked on the tobacco weed. It's not a problem for me. Even as a teenager, I could never understand why grown men would want to give away good money just to see it go up in smoke. It did seem to me to be one of the rather more crazy things. But then you see, the things that would be my problem may not be your problem. The things that would trip me up are things possibly that would not trip you up.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.